Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Word, amen. I'm excited to share a word that God has put on my heart, and I thank God that he is a confirmer of what he speaks to you. So last week, you know, I've been telling my dad to tell people to go to the podcast, but I didn't have this, so I'm just going to share it real quick. Last week, we talked about validation, okay, and how many times we get caught trying to be validated by the people around us, or even the world and the system of the world, right? If we go to a job, we want to be validated for what we do. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? But when you place man's validation higher than God's validation, that's when it becomes a problem. And many times there is I want to call it a catch-22, where there's going to be times in your life where you can either be validated by God or validated by man, okay? Last week, we started in Mark chapter 6, verse 1 through 12. So if you weren't here, or if you don't remember, write that down. Mark chapter 6, 1 through 12. Go through that. That is where Jesus was in his hometown. Somebody say hometown. Somebody say home business. All right. Yeah, he was in the hometown doing home business. And people, as he was doing miracles, as he was giving them nuggets of truth and wisdom, they said, hold up, isn't this guy from around the way? Isn't this Jesus the one that we know, his brothers and his sisters, who they're all just carpenters? How in the world does he got all of this wisdom? So what they begin to do is, instead of accepting the words that he had, they rejected it. Said, man, this guy doesn't have the training. He doesn't have the certifications for what he is speaking about. Denying the power of God, right? They said Jesus is not certified enough. And guess what? After that, he could not do many miracles in that town. Because of their disbelief, because they didn't validate God, who is Jesus in this sense, right? They said, nah, we don't, this ain't the one. Then, instead of Jesus getting down like some of us do, right? If somebody discredits who we are, man, it hurts, right? But Jesus began to validate the disciples, and this is when he sent them out. He said, go to these towns. I am going to send my spirit with you. You're going to perform miracles. And even if they reject you, he said it, just dust it off your feet and keep on moving. Okay? So validation is a huge thing in our lives. I would lie to you if I said I don't like to be validated. Now, today we had our last basketball game for Marquise. They gave me a nice little plaque. I'm like, yeah, okay, cool, you know. And I was telling my wife, one day I'm going to put all these on the wall, because I've coached a lot of teams, right? And I'm going to have a whole wall of coach validations, right? But on the flip side, if somebody says, hey, you're not that good, that makes you look at yourself like, man, right? But also we slightly got onto Genesis chapter 6. So you got Mark chapter 6, 1 through 12, and Genesis chapter 6. And this is Noah building the ark. And while Noah was building the ark, he was commanded to let people know a flood is coming. You're going to have to get into this ark. But the people didn't believe him. Somebody said he wasn't validated. His word wasn't truth in their minds. They were like, rain? What are you talking about, rain? All we see is this tropical area. I don't know, you know, it's kind of interesting, because before there was rain in the earth, I don't think it was like a desert, okay? You got to think God created this. There had been no rain yet. If there were anywhere, it might have looked like Hawaii, might have looked like the Bahamas, might have looked like Jamaica, right? Might have looked nice. Nice little sandy beaches, wherever they wanted to go. You know, who knows what it looked like. But despite God told Noah to do it, and God's word to Noah was the validation that Noah needed. Okay? So it comes back again as we get going in today's word. Your validation can either come from God or man. Okay? Now, I think we all want to be validated by God. But it's that validation from man that we don't get sometimes that keeps us stuck in a rut. Now, I can say, oh, man, I've been preaching for da-da-da-da this amount of time, and this is what we see. But if God keeps telling me to keep doing it, keep being obedient, keep sharing a word, there might be somebody that walks in one day and that was exactly who God sent me here. And I might get to heaven and that God was like, that word that you shared saved this man's life. Right? That's the validation that I want to hear. Not, oh, we got thousands of followers. Right? They all here and nobody's being changed. We want lives to be changed. Amen? So your validation can come from God or man. I have a quote that I can't, when I was praying, this came into my heart. It says, your search for validation from man can and will hinder you from the plans of God in your life. Your search for validation from man can and will hinder you from the plans of God in your life. What does that mean? That means I can be looking for yes men or yes women that are saying, oh yeah, everything you're doing is great. Keep doing it. It's going to be great. But if I don't listen to what God is saying, now this is the thing. Sometimes God's voice is not the loudest voice, right? I don't know about you. There has been times where I feel like God got a little loud with me, right? I remember I went to bed one night and I was kind of upset with the Lord and say, hey, God, I don't know if this don't seem like it's working, God. And I was sleeping in my bed, and it was like God didn't even say nothing, but I knew what happened, right? I was sleeping in my bed, and it was like the moon came from the sky and hit me. And I was like, whoa, I knew what that meant, right? And I was like, God, I'm sorry, and forgive me, right? Because that scared me. Like, and that's one of them dreams, you're half awake, but you're not. Really, I don't know if you guys have those kind of things where you're awake. It's a dream where you're actually where you are, right? I don't know what the technical term for that is. Well, it's I was asleep though, so it's still a dream. So it's interesting. Vision and dreams, God gives both. But anyway, when God did that, I was like, wow. But there's times when you're trying to hear God and you got to get to a still small place to see what he's really saying to you. Now, I've been preaching now for I've been preaching since I was in high school. I remember my Mrs. Hammer. Michael, you remember Mrs.? She asked me to preach one for Black Friday, or not Black Friday, for Black History Month. And I was like, okay, I'll do it. Right. And, you know, I was a junior or senior in that year. So that was the first time that I actually preached. But I've been preaching for a while. And I believe that sometimes as you get going, you don't want to get comfortable and think you got this thing. See, I can get comfortable and be like, oh, man, this is like riding a bike. I've been on the bike for, I've been out of high school for a few years. So I've been on the bike for a minute, right? But the thing about God is he wants you to constantly check in with him. That's where you get your validation. Okay, God, okay, that was a great sermon that I preached last week. I think it was good. I think, okay, now, God, I come to you as humbly as I know how and say, God, what do you want me to talk about? That's my validation. And at times it takes a very long time. But I can, you know, if I just wanted to make up a sermon real quick, I can look on what's going on Facebook, right? I can look. What do people really want to hear? The Bible says this. In the last days, men will be lovers of themselves. They're going to look for somebody that's going to preach a message that's going to make them feel good. The Bible says they're going to have itchy ears or tickling ears, right? Which means they are looking for something. And guess what? That is popular. If I give you a fluff message, I don't know why people like to eat fluff, but they like to eat spiritually. Spiritually, they like fluff. And you know what? It's crazy because even Paul said, I came to give you something to eat spiritually, right? I wanted to give you some meat, but y'all still bottle sucking. So I'm going to have to give you milk, right? And it's the same today. And this is not a knock at anybody. I'm just saying in the church overall, unfortunately, milk is what people are getting. Instead of graduating, and I don't know about you guys, do you know that we should graduate in God? There should be some kind of graduating where you are going to the next level in God. Our prayer should not be every year, God, I need help paying this bill. Okay? Now I know bills is real. Right? We got bills. But your faith, I talked to Pastor Willie about this a lot. Your faith should go past just asking God for a bill. Maybe your faith should be saying, okay, God, give me wisdom. Okay? Because I believe that he supplies all of our needs. And not only that, God, give me wisdom if I'm in the right place at the place that I'm at. Maybe you are in the wrong place. You are in the wrong field or career. But if we don't ask God, God, what do you think about me being right here, right now? I think that's important. I think just, you know, with me doing music, there's, I say as you get older, rappers are getting younger and younger, right? As you get older, it's kind of like, huh, can I be real with you guys? I don't want to be a youth group rapper for the rest of my life. I don't even really think my music is for youth groups, so to speak. But for some reason, they always put Christian rap and youth group together. And I don't know if you guys know, but rap has been along since my mom was born. Amen. It's not that long, but close. Right? So, yeah, actually, no, it has been. So 50 years, which really says that people that are 50-year-olds and younger listen to hip hop. And actually, some people older than that. Because you got to think some of the ones that probably first started listening to it were teenagers, were young adults. But I have to say, God, show me what to do even with that. Teach me, God, what to do. What, even if I have to do something else, Lord, show me so that I can be alerted by you so I can be in the right place. We have to have those prayers. Those are prayers of validation. Amen? Now, see, it's easy to just see, okay, oh, let me send this to this person. What do you think? Oh, I like it. Okay, good. It's easy to get those. Easy to get those responses. Or I don't like it. Okay, well, back to the drawing board. Have you guys ever had somebody that didn't like something that you did for God and you know God told you to do it? And when you did it, they're like, man, I think you should have did it like this. Now, I'm going to say this. It's funny. When you do something for God, people are always going to have opinions. They're going to be like, oh, you should have did it like this. You should have did it. But that's why they have to listen to God for themselves to know what they are called to do. Your validation cannot come from copying somebody else. You have to be you. Once again, your search for validation from man can and will hinder you from the plans of God in your life. Let's go to Numbers chapter 13. We're going to crack this open right here. Eat it up, and then we'll be going home, okay? Numbers chapter 13. And we're going to read this whole chapter. Now, in this chapter, we're going to see two kind of validations. And the issue that's going to take place because of the validations. All right, so listen to this. Verse 1 says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them." Now, can you give me one and two real quick? Listen, who sent this word to Moses? Come on, somebody help me. The Lord said to Moses. Now, let's read verse 2 again real quick. It said, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am," what does it say right there? "Giving," somebody say giving, "to the children of Israel." Okay, so he is already sending people in to go spy out a land that he's going to give them. Okay, it's a couple things right there. God has already showed us what's going to happen. And God is not a liar, right? So he's already said, send them in, and not only send them in, I need a leader from every person. So guess what I believe about these leaders? These leaders had the mindset of the people that were following them. Okay? Usually a leader sends out a mindset or a mind state. Okay? If you are on a, that's why you can see, and I hate to talk about the Patriots, but when you talk about the Patriots, they have a different mindset. You come here, you are part of the team. Don't say nothing extra or we will kick you off the team, right? We don't have time for no nonsense. Other teams, unfortunately, sometimes they have times for nonsense, right? You look at the Browns, a lot of people have not been able to even stay on the team because they have not been glued to the mindset of the team. And sometimes we don't know what the mindset is, okay? But they were sent to go get the land that God was giving them. And then it says, so Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran in verse 3. According to the command of the Lord, all of them, men of who were heads of the children of Israel. Now, these were the names from the tribes of Reuben: Shimua, the son of Zakar, from the tribe of Simeon; Shaphath, the son of Hori, from the tribe of Judah; Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the tribe of Issachar; Igal, the son of Joseph, from the tribe of Ephraim; Hoshea, the son of Nun, from the tribe of Benjamin; Paltai, the son of Rephu, from the tribe of Zebulun; Gadiel, the son of Sodai, and from the tribe of Joseph, that is from the tribe of Manasseh, Gadai, the son of Susi, from the tribe of Dan, Amiel, the son of Gamaliel, and from the tribe of Asher, Sethar, the son of Michael, and from the tribe of Naphtali, Nabi, the son of Vapshi, ooh, that was a tough one, and from the tribe of Gad, Jeel, the son of Machai. These are the names of the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land, and Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. Okay, so that was Joshua's other name. Verse 17 says, then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up into the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many. Okay, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not, be of good courage. Somebody say, be of good courage. And then he says, and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season for the first ripe grapes. Now they, in the Bible, I see grapes a lot. That might have been the Bible's, their favorite fruits. And I know Precious really likes grapes. So anyway, so they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin, as far as Rahab, near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up through the south and came to Hebron, Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmiah, the descendants of Anak, were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Then they came to the valley of Exol, and they cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. It says they carried it between two of them on a pole. Now, I don't know how much grapes that is, but that's a lot. Okay? They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. The place was called the Valley of Exol because of the clusters which the men of Israel cut down from there. And they gathered, and they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now, say 40 days. Now, sometimes we don't catch that 40 days, but they were there for a while. So they got to really get familiar with what they see. And let me say something before we even go further. Sometimes what you see can mess you up. Okay? Because if God has told you something and you see something different and you dwell on what you see instead of the word of God, that's where your validation is going to come from. Because you're dwelling on the things that you are seeing.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc. Or on Twitter at New Creation WA. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
Now, this is the thing about faith. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight, which means everything I see cannot and should not change the things that I believe. Okay? Now, I can be in a world where, for example, right now, we have all these shootings going on with these mass rifles and all kind of stuff, and they're trying to get gun control, right? Now, some of the things they've said is, hey, maybe we should give teachers guns and all these kind of things, and I don't know if I'm really for that kind of stuff. I am not really for certain guns to be controlled. I believe, first of all, I don't believe anybody needs the AR-15s and all these rifles right now, right? Nobody should just have one of those laying around, right? They need to put those up. But pistols is a whole nother story, right? You're not shooting 45 bullets in a minute with a normal pistol gun. That doesn't really happen, okay? But what I will say is now I saw on Facebook that because of that, those things that have happened, people are scared going out of their schools like on a normal fire drill. It's a fire drill and, oh, we gotta go stand outside. Oh, I hope we don't get shot. Right, you see what's happening? The enemy is invoking fear amongst our children. Now, as a believer, what do? We bind that spirit. We pray, God. So one thing I do when I leave my kids' school, I don't just pray for my school, but I say, God, protect the children around this nation. Dear God, if somebody has a plan to hurt them, foil their plans. The Bible says that in their own trap, they will be snared. Allow them to be caught before they even can do anything. And thank God there has been some people that have been caught. But we as a church, we have to pray that. That has to be in our spirit. We might see something, but our faith should rise up and say, let's pray. Let's expect God to move. And I will say this. Sometimes there's going to have to be where we rally with some of the people. There might be times for that. You know what I mean? But our number one rally should be in prayer. Our number one rally should be us standing up as people of God and binding, because we know that the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. They're not carnal. We don't bear arms and say, okay, let's go deal with this ourselves, right? We must pray because we know that we are fighting against principalities, powers, wickedness in high places. And the only way we can fight that is through prayer. Amen? So don't let what you see make you depart from what God has already told you. Okay? Verse 26, it says, now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, we went into the land where you sent us, and it truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Okay? So everything you told us about in Moses when we were in Egypt, hey, it's true. This land is plush. Now, let me say this. Me and my wife were doing Uber Eats deliveries today. So we drove in the neighborhood, and she was like, ooh, this neighborhood is nice. And I looked it up on Redfin to see how much it was costing. I was like, oh, that's too nice. That's a little bit too nice. I don't know about you guys, but if you don't know, right now, Seattle is the prices of housing is at an all-time high. Okay? Somebody say all-time high. It has never been this high before. And, you know, I'm of the mindset that if something goes up, one day it's going to have to go down. Okay? As far as the pricing of housing. So me personally, I am not going to be buying a house during the time that we live in right now because they are way too much. Okay? The house that we looked at was $900,000. And I said, in renting? Like $900,000 in renting. That is crazy. Hey, man, kind of like Kiki. Crazy. Anyway, verse 28 says, so they saw the land. What I'm trying to tell you is they saw and they were like, yeah, it's good. It's everything that we expected it to be. But we kept looking at it. We kept looking at the people because, you know, we got to take over the place. And I don't know if we can do it. And guess what? I think it started like this. There was 12 of them out there, right? 12 of them spying. And one of them was like, hey, man. I don't know if we're going to be able to take it from these guys because they're kind of big. What do you think? See, this is what happens. Sister Jane kind of talked about that earlier. See, doubt will come in when God has given you a word. That's how you know it's the enemy. Catch that. The enemy will try to confuse you and make you doubt what God has told you. That one little word that you're holding on to from God, the enemy is going to try to do anything and everything he can. And see, just like God plants seeds, the enemy plants seeds. Because the enemy is trying to do everything that God does, but it's just a counterfeit. Okay? So, I believe it started with one of the 12, like, hey, and it might have been Judas, you know, who knows. But he was like, hey. Hey, man, I don't think we can get this land, bro. That dude is kind of big. And then number two was like, yeah, you right, bro. But this fruit is good, though. We got a couple more days. Let's just keep on looking. And then I think that man was next to somebody else. And while they were there, it's like, hey, bro, I know Moses told us, but this ain't really looking like it's going to be an easy place to take over. And, you know, we haven't been gone from Egypt too long. So, let's go back to Egypt. I mean, shoot, we was eating onions, right? And, you know, I don't know who says things like that. Like, onions is just everything. Now, I like onions on my food, but not. That ain't my favorite food, right? Garlic and onions is great on food, but if I don't have it, I can make do. But that's a slave mentality. So, they're like, let's see what they say in verse 28. They say, nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. And it says, the cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we see the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Now, guess what? Their investigation was pretty thorough. Because they naming everybody that was there. Then it says, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, now look, there's always somebody that has God's word and is not going to veer from it. Okay? It says, then Caleb quieted the people that are trying to quiet God's word, quiet God's voice. He came and said, let us go up at once and take possessions, for we are well able to overcome it. Okay? So that's Caleb. And if you guys don't know, Caleb is a mighty warrior. Okay? Caleb is like one of the, besides Joshua and Caleb are the only ones that live to actually go into this land. Okay? And it said at 80 years old, Caleb was still tearing folks up. Just so we know. But right here, he is 40. Okay? Somebody say 40. See, I'm not there yet, but I'm going to get there soon. But pressures will beat me. Anyway, hallelujah. Verse 30, it says, let me get back to that. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Now, it's kind of interesting that the Israelites keep on saying these kind of things in the history of Israel, okay? Now, they left Egypt, who was what? Can somebody help me? Was their army not stronger than their army? Yeah? At that time, Egypt was the most powerful nation, okay? These slaves literally did not have a chance. They didn't have weapons. They didn't have anything to defend themselves against Egypt, but God delivered Egypt into their hands. Okay? Now they're somewhere else, and this is what happens when you don't remember what God has done in your life. That's why it's important that we testify about it and remember the things that God has done in our lives. Because if God did it back then, he could do it again. Okay? But doubt. Somebody say doubt. Don't let doubt snuff the word of God out of your life. Okay? They didn't want to validate God's word, just like the people that were in the same city Jesus was born didn't want to validate Jesus. They said, nah, man, it can't be. It cannot be true. These jokers here are too strong for us. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we see in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight as grasshoppers, okay? Now, because of that report, we see in the next chapter, chapter 14, that the title says, Israel refuses to enter into Canaan. Because of 12 men who didn't want to validate God's word. And because of this situation that happened, every one of those people died off. Now, I told you guys, if we are looking for the validation of man, it will and can hinder us from the plans of God in our life. Right? And we see a clear indication of this happening here. Because of fear. because of what they saw and what they began to say. And I don't know about you, but if you see things and you dwell on things, sometimes you make those things bigger than they actually are. Because they didn't say that there were giants until the end, when they gave a bad report. They said, hey, they're cutting everybody off. Nobody can get in there. You would die if we go in there. So guess what? We're not going to go in there. Matter of fact, they're giants. Okay? What happens is, if you don't trust the word of God, the enemy will bring another word. And we have to allow, if Jesus and his word is sent to us, we must validate that in our lives and say, that's right. That valid means true. That's the truth. And I'm going to follow it despite anything else. Amen. I'm going to quickly read Numbers 14, 1 through 14, or actually 1 through 10, so we can just see what happens. It says, so all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. Now look, they're not only are they having issues not hearing what Moses told them, now they're complaining about them. They complained about Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by sword, that our wives and our children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. See how the tables are turned. Now, I believe that Caleb and Joshua are anointed at this point when they share this, but they can't hear God's word because they've discredited what God has already said. And now, because what they saw doesn't line up with what they believe, they're like, hey, man, those guys got to go. Matter of fact, let us stone them because their word is not right. It says, and all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of men. And what we know is that obviously they didn't stone them. I want you guys to go catch what happens after that. But we know that because of this situation, everybody died. Because they didn't believe God's word. Now, somebody might say, that's kind of harsh. But it will happen in our lives if we discredit what God's word says. And we join the majority and say, hey, let's change this Bible thing. Because, you know, the Bible is a little bit, it was the papyrus leaves and all those things. It's kind of old. Let's change it so we can, make it a little more inviting for everybody else. And if you tell them, no, we have to stand on the word of God, they're ready to stone you. It's like Joshua and Caleb. Right? But you have to stand and let your validation come from God's word and God alone. Not what everybody else says, because if we follow what everybody else says, you can miss out on what God has for you. Okay? It's very important, especially in this day and age, that God's word leads us. Amen? That we allow God's word to validate us. Heavenly Father, I just pray to God that you would allow us to hear from you clearly. I come against the doubt, the seeds of doubt, the seeds of the enemy that try to keep us from obeying you and your word. And God, I pray to God that we walk in what you've called us to walk into. dear God, that we would catch what your spirit is saying, dear God, that we would not even try to go out or go on our own, but we would follow you wholeheartedly. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say amen and amen. If that was impactful for you, go ahead and slip your hand up. Amen. And I'm just going to say this. Don't let us, especially all of us, I think sometimes as minorities, a lot of times we seem like we need that validation more. But God is the one that validated us, right? He has accepted us as his sons. The Bible says, it says that we are his adopted sons. And I don't know about you, but when you adopt somebody, you actually have to pick somebody. You choose them. And that's what God has done with us. Amen? All right, we are dismissed, Lord. Allow us to stay in your presence, even as we leave this place, dear God, that you keep us by your spirit. Allow this word to resonate in us and allow your word to produce fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You are now dismissed. Catch the snacks in the foyer, and we will be back tomorrow. Amen. God bless you.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.